Why do you go to church? Why do you open the doors? Why do you go to church? The more that I'm around church, the more that I am involved in the ministry. If you want to know what the ministry is simply serving others. You can just put it in one little phrase, you are serving others. And when you get that opportunity to do that, my, how God will enrich your life. We've been studying about on Wednesday nights. Why do we go to church? Why do we open the doors? Why do we come in? I enjoy the music. I enjoy the fellowship. I enjoy seeing people being greeted. I enjoy the fact that God allows us to have this time out from a busy world that we live in, to come into His house, a building like that that says, this character, this building has character. These pine walls, not some, just such a beautiful, beautiful place that God has given us to come in and to worship Him. Whenever I have questions, whenever I ask myself, more than I try to get into the, people would say, oh, the deep meaning of the Word of God and all these wonderful revelations that God will bring to your hearts, and He will do that. And I believe when you come to God's house and you come to a Sunday school class over on the sky on the side, that you can open up God's Word and you can have some wonderful insight on what God is trying to speak to your hearts. I believe that you yourself in your own devotional time, as you open your Bible, as you spend private time with Him, He will reveal Himself to you in a special, precious way. Then you come in on a Sunday morning, the time is exactly 11:42. For hopefully the next 18 minutes, we're going to talk about what I feel the reason that you should be here. And I believe that reason and what we share on a Sunday morning should be so simple. I come into God's house to receive something from Him. I believe that each and every one of you at some time have heard the wonderful gospel invitation. You made a decision within your heart. Boy, we got another singer coming in. Joe Vogel, I'm glad you made it this time, because you'd been here earlier, brother. You would have been shown up. We had a young man singing over here, would have taken your place. And, you know, Jessup was here and you sang with us. They're back over there, Joe. There you go. They're out playing golf, Joe. Just no. That was a difference. That was a different Sunday. That's good. There we go. And now the rest of you guests know why we come to church, so we can try to forgive each other. All the things that go on here in Mount Calvary. Why do I come to church? I believe that God just blesses us in a rich way. I believe as you look into His Word, as you study under a great teacher, as you have your Bible time, that you will be wonderfully enriched by the truth that He brings within your heart. But then I think on Sunday morning when it gets around time for a sermon, I think it ought to be simple. And I think it ought to be uplifting. I've heard prayer requests today, and I believe that God is going to answer prayer requests that I have heard. And I know those prayer requests come from people who have a need either within their body or a friend so dear or a family member so dear and close by that they simply need a touch from God. They need to be uplifted by what they hear and what they read and what they hear in the songs on a Sunday morning to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're going to do that, and if you're going to be just as simple as you can, you got to start from the beginning. Anyone who is starting their walk with God, anyone who comes to me and says, Pastor, help me out. I'm wanting to learn more about God. I'm wanting to walk closer to Him. I sent him one direction. I said, go in that New Testament, find the book of St. John, and start reading the book of St. John. Because it begins with this verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. This Bible that I have open in front of me, it is a living thing. It is God in the flesh. It is God's Word who later on in the 14th verse does a very amazing thing. In the 14th, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This Word that God gave became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, whosoever shall believe upon Him should not perish, but have that gift of everlasting life. And then in this first chapter, you will hear about John the Baptist, the one who was sent forth proclaiming the one who would come after him, John, talking about John the Baptist, answered them saying in the 26th verse, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. My friend, that is the gospel. That is the gospel. This Word here was given of God. This Word became flesh in the form of God's Son who lived and dwelt among us, who gave his life. Why? Because John the Baptist says, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of God's Word today. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. I did a funeral this past Tuesday, and I've done, just in the past few weeks here, many funerals. God has blessed us. I don't understand His timing sometimes. I don't understand why, when we heard in prayer requests, this little tiny Amelia here, so young, less than 2 weeks old, and such suffering. But I know that God's will has to be done. And I know that during the times here, and I've been just over so joyed with the response of the church, and how, even this morning, how Jill, she made it a point to be here this morning because she loves that old big guy over there. And I see people doing things for other people simply out of love. That's what church is, folks. Looking beyond yourself, doing something for someone else in love. At the funeral, Bobby and all was sitting here, and the door to my office opened, and there was a little fellow that walked into my office. And he looked up on the wall, crossed his arms like that, and I'd encourage him. I saw him out here in the hall. I said, come on in. He did. Love children. Never had the privilege myself to have children. It's like I tell them, it's so hard to raise a congregation. I don't think I had time. And he looked up at that picture. He says, is that a picture of Jesus? And I started to smile. I said, well, let me try to explain this, you know. He says, that's a portrait. That's somebody that painted what they thought Jesus would look like. But there are no pictures that have been given down to us of Jesus. He said, what's that up on the corner there? I said, well, that's a crown of thorns. He was taking all this in. He was hanging on every word. I said, that's a crown of thorns, and that was placed on Jesus' head as he suffered for you and I. kind of stood back and says, well, I got to get me a picture of Jesus then. And I started to smile inside. I started to realize how simple the gospel is. Down in Texas, some of our folks will be visiting soon. There's a wonderful historical place called the Alamo. And I read this story and I was just so moved. As you come into the entrance, there is a portrait hanging on the wall. And under it, it has written this caption. It has James Butler Bonham. James Butler Bonham. And it is written right under it, says, no portrait of him exists. This is a portrait of his nephew, Major James Bonham, deceased, who greatly resembled his uncle. It is placed here by the family that the people may know the appearance of the man who died for freedom. So that people may know the appearance of the man who died for freedom. And the more I thought about the young man who asked me the question here in the office, we don't have a picture of Jesus. But I hope we have the appearance of the man who died for our freedom in each and every one of his believers. I want to feel that I see Christ in the believers here at Mount Calvary, in the believers of all these surrounding churches that I go visit. I want to believe that we have, to the best of our abilities, lined up our will with God's will. It's a choice. I mean, I was told one time that how much of an expectation do you have of God? I said, what? He says, well, it was explained to me like this. You can come to God with a thimble and he will fill it. You can come to God with a bucket, and guess what? God is going to fill it. Or you can come to him with an old 55-gallon drum, and God is going to fill it. Now, the question is what expectation do you have of God? Are you going to be just a thimble, a bucket, or a big old barrel? Just full of his love, overflowing and sharing the wonderful things that God has given, that he has done for us. I hear every fix for everything there is known to man. I watch those television shows late at night. I'm finding out cures for things I didn't know I had. You just watch him. Everybody's got it all figured out. People are going to their therapist, to that psych, everything. My friend, we need to start with the basic, simple things of God's Word. It applies. It is living. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody told me about the fellow, the big executive. It was so busy in his therapist said, well, you need to take a vacation and go to Hawaii. And so he's in Hawaii and he sent back a text. He says, I'm in Hawaii and I'm having a marvelous time. I wish you were here to tell me why. It don't make sense. We are looking for things. We are looking for fixes. We are looking for that bigger, that better, when God wants us to look to him for the simplicity of God's love. He wants us to come in. And friends, you know, when you came today and we stood up and we shook hands, and boy, you'll see a lot of smiles. You'll feel a lot of warmth. There are a lot of things that are going on in people's lives that you don't know about, that I don't know about. Only my Heavenly Father, He and His great love and compassion, He is the only one that knows everything that is going on within our lives at all times. But my, how I, when I get into a room that is filled with love and our focus is on God, our focus is on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our focus is on His Holy Spirit that dwells among us, giving us the strength to face every day, every day, every day, led by the love of God. I was thrilled this morning to see so many people come into God's house. John Medeiros, by now you ought to figure something's up. You smiling at me, brother? Yeah. There are two things that we have here. One, we didn't have anybody hit the lottery. Number two, we don't have that many folks that passed that wonderful milestone of 90 years serving God. Amen. Amen. In just a moment, we're gonna go downstairs. I'm going to close in prayer. There's nothing earth-shattering about any sermon that I ever give. I never think that way. The only thing I give is my personal testimony of what Jesus Christ did for me, an old sinner. I encourage the people to be honest and true from their hearts, because you're not going to hide from God. No. But we kind of today, we made it our point to celebrate John's birthday, which was yesterday. John and Jane have just been so precious to us. You don't have the opportunity that I do. Many times when I'm up here preaching and I'll get on a point, I'll see Jane just pointing at John on something I've said. Brings a smile to my heart. Makes me feel like I'm preaching to a need. Ain't that the truth? And I feel, my friends, that we have been the privileged ones here at Mount Calvary Community Church to have a couple like this to come into God's house, to share with us their testimonies, their words of wisdom. John has been such a wonderful servant here, working at taking care of all the financial items of the church here and preparing things and spending hour after hour. How many computers has he worn out? I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing, that man is faithful. So today, as we close in prayer, we're going to encourage each one of you to come on downstairs and join in a meal, a little celebration. We've got some different things. We've got some songs back there. We've got some items on the wall that you're going to enjoy seeing. We've got some pictures from way back when. We're going to tell you what was happening back in 1923, in case some of you don't quite remember. And we're going to do our best to show our love to people that we love. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we have come into your house today. We have been challenged by the words that we read within your Bible. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son to die upon a cross. We thank you for the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the wonderful spirit that we felt within your house today. Now, Heavenly Father, allow us to continue on in a wonderful time of celebration. We thank you for John. We thank you for Jane. We thank you for those family members that are here today, Heavenly Father. We thank you for our guests. And Heavenly Father, we ask now that you'll just lead us, you'll guide us, you'll direct us, you'll bless this food downstairs, all the hands that have helped prepare it. Let us have a wonderful time in celebration for a dear brother that we absolutely love, for John and his faithfulness, for the encouragement that he has given all those around him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that's done today so far and what you will do in the upcoming hour. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said amen.